Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Gary Lee. FACE Foundation, the foundation for animal care and education, is saving pets and helping families by providing financial grants for animal owners who are unable to afford the cost of their pet's emergency or critical care. Joining us this morning is FACE Foundation Executive Director Danae Davis and FACE Board Member Dr. Tammy Stevenson. Welcome, Danae. Welcome, Tammy.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Nice to have the both of you on the show. Last week, I had the founder and president of Hope to Canine Foundation on the show talking about how they support dog owners through training and community services in an effort to prevent surrender and euthanasia. I want to continue that conversation to an extent today, and that's why I'm so glad that you can make it out today. Let's start with some background information on your organization. When was it first founded?
So FACE, it actually stands for Foundation for Animal Care and Education. It's kind of a mouthful, so that's why we go by FACE or FACE Foundation. We were established in 2006, so going on our 13th year, if my math is right. And we were actually started by some local veterinarians here in San Diego who partnered with some community members who were noticing an issue of pets being euthanized or put to sleep for medical conditions that were very treatable, just a sudden medical emergency that a pet parent couldn't afford at that time. And, you know, they were tired of seeing that, so they wanted to do something about it. And hence, FACE Foundation was born.
And what's the mission then at FACE?
Yeah, FACE's mission is to enhance and preserve the quality of life of animals by providing necessary access to medical care and education. So it is twofold. The providing medical care is important in the sense that we want to be able to see through pets being able to get the treatment that they need for certain medical conditions and to survive these emergencies that come about. But then we also want to educate pet owners on how to avoid certain medical conditions, how to be responsible pet owners, and it goes full circle. So
you're talking about all pets, right?
We are.
Not just dogs or cats?
Yeah. You know, FACE does mainly service dogs and cats. I'd say about 70% of our grantees annually are dogs, but we have had a handful of small critters. We actually just approved our first chinchilla case. So really any pet that qualifies for our financial assistance, both medically and on the owner's side of things, which we can get into.
Yeah, we'll get into that in just a little bit. One of the goals at your organization is to prevent economic euthanasia. Mm-hmm. Can you explain a little bit more about what you mean by that?
Sure. So specifically what FACE tries to avoid is when a pet is put to sleep for a very sudden emergency medical condition that is also very treatable. What we go by in our criteria for funding is that the pet does have to have a good expected outcome with the treatment that is being received or is being funded for. But again, that's what we're trying to avoid is, you know, a lot of situations arise and there's a lot of different reasons why a pet owner might not have the funds available during a time of a medical emergency. And the vet hospitals do require the full amount up front for these treatments. And simply not everybody has that. And we want to try to be a solution in that issue. Just, again, making sure that these pets are getting the treatment that they need and that these pets are being able to stay in the home with their loving families.
How has your organization changed since its inception in the last 13 years?
I would say the biggest thing we've changed is just in the scope of our work. The number of pets that we've been able to help per year has grown significantly. In our first year, we were only working with one hospital, and I think we granted or were able to help about 12 pets. And fast forward to last year, we have now worked with over 165 veterinary hospitals in San Diego alone. And last year, we we're able to assist over 335 pets, and currently we're at a rate of about one pet per day that
saving
is being
one
saved.
Pet.
Mm-hmm. That is nice. Being saved through FACE and through our veterinary partners.
That's great. Now, the vision at your organization is to create a world where no family pet dies due to financial hardship, mm-hmm. and we're going to get into that a little bit more on how that is being achieved.
Yeah.
FACE, as you mentioned, stands for Foundation for Animal Care and Education, but the acronym also spells out your core values, doesn't it?
It does.
Can we talk about that?
Sure. So the F in FACE, we'd like to say that stands for fulfillment. We're trying to really fulfill our mission of saving lives, of keeping pets in the family homes. You know, our tagline is saving pets and helping families. And I think the helping families part is equally as important to us as the saving pet goes. So just trying to be as vigilant as we can about fulfilling our mission that we've dedicated this foundation to. The A, we could say, stands for accountability. So we want to, again, serve the community. We are a foundation. We have to run transparently and be able to say that we're working as hard as we can to fulfill our mission again. C, collaboration. We couldn't do what we could do without all of our community partners, including our veterinary partners. Like I said, now we have over 165 vet hospitals in the county alone that see this mission as very important and see this work as very important. Of course, we would like as many vet partners as possible, so had to plug that. But, you know, we partner with other groups, too, that work together to see the value in pets and, again, keeping these families together. And then E is for empathy. You know, I think as animal lovers, we're all kind of in it together, and I'd like to think that animals make us better people. And knowing that somebody else might be experiencing an emergency with their pet, we try to be empathetic for those situations and for all the parties involved. So just being compassionate with our work and with what other struggles people might be going through.
Now, from what I understand, thousands of treatable pets are euthanized in veterinary hospitals annually. Is that a national figure?
Yeah, and perhaps Tammy can speak to this, but it actually isn't a recorded figure.
Uh-huh.
Vet hospitals aren't required to record specifically economic euthanasias. I've heard statistics from anywhere between, over 4,000 dogs euthanized a day to 500,000 pets euthanized for economic euthanasia a year.
Wow.
So I don't know how reliable those stats are, again, because it's not something specifically that's recorded, the economic euthanasia numbers. But I'm not sure if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, I don't have any specific statistics. I would say that it's also variable in terms of what is considered fixable to some mm-hmm. people and what is not considered fixable in terms of the amount of veterinary care that is needed to save one pet. I think that it's important to remember that a lot of people, especially people who require the FACE Foundation's funding, are making hard decisions between treating their pet and feeding their family. And so sometimes these decisions are not ones they want to make either. So the FACE Foundation comes in to help those people.
It definitely isn't an easy decision, as one who's been through it several times myself. Another statistic that I read, according to reports, 13.8% of San Diegans fall below poverty level, and 33% of San Diegans do not earn enough to cover basic expenses. And this is where your Save a Life program comes in, right?
Yeah, so the majority of FACE grantees, that's kind of the name we give people who we've served, are low income. About 18% of them might be on some form of government assistance or disability, seniors, local senior citizens. About 10% of them are military families, and maybe about 5% of them are homeless. But the rest are actually working individuals or families working, you know, paycheck to paycheck. Our average household income for our grantees is about $32,000 for two people living in the home. So according to some of those statistics, that's not too far above the mm-hmm. poverty line for San Diego. So couple that with the rising cost of veterinary care, which I think comes from different things, you know, advances in veterinary medicine, for one. But that does result in this issue that we're trying to avoid, which is economic euthanasia. So again, yeah, San Diego is not a cheap place to live. So.
No, not.
But yeah, the majority of the population that we serve does sort of fill in that low income standard, but that doesn't go without saying, you know, I think a question that comes up sometimes, and I know, Tammy, you've mentioned this before, is, well, if you're low income, should you own a pet? And I think it's important to address that, you know, that brings up a lot of other issues. You know, well, if somebody has to be of a upper income range just to own a pet, how might that be affecting shelter adoptions?
Pets offer so much to families. It offers a ton to elderly, companionship, loneliness, depression. It helps all of those things, teaches children responsibility, empathy, their replacement siblings sometimes if it's an only child. It helps with health, blood pressure, cholesterol. There's studies that show having animals in the home can reduce stress, and certainly in households where people struggle a bit more or are living paycheck to paycheck, those can be stressful environments, and pets can actually bring a lot to those households. And I don't think denying people who can't necessarily afford what veterinary medicine can offer is a solution.
Yeah, they're such great companions to have, and they're family members.
Yeah. And again, absolutely. What we're looking into funding for are these medical emergencies. So a lot of times it's a surgery or maybe a few days in the hospital that is a very sudden, larger cost than, say, routine medical care might cost. So, you know, these people are very capable of being responsible pet owners, but they might not have the full cost of what's needed up front at the time of a medical emergency.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what's the application process like? What are the requirements and qualifications?
Sure. So again, we specifically help with one-time medical emergencies for pets that have been diagnosed with an immediately life-threatening condition. Kind of our rule of thumb is that the pet would probably pass away or need to be put to sleep within about 7 to 10 days without the recommended treatment from the vet. It does have to have a good prognosis with the treatment, so a good expected outcome. We have kind of expanded our criteria within the past year or two to look into some more quality of life cases. So if the pet's truly suffering, but it might not be a very time sensitive emergency, we'll look into some of those. And lastly, we do get a grant annually from the Petco Foundation, at least we have for a few years now, to look into some cancer treatments. But the main thing, again, what we look to service are those medical emergencies. So that's kind of the medical criteria for funding. Is it just has to meet those few things and does have to have a good prognosis or a good expected outcome with the treatment. On the owner side or the pet parent side of the application, we do require some proof of income. So they need to show us that they truly can't afford the full cost of the treatment that's needed at the time of the emergency. It could be some, you know, Social Security paperwork or just sort of, again, proof of income. Once we get a complete application, we're pretty quick in approving a grant because we do know these are time-sensitive emergencies. So once we get a complete application, I would say our average review time is only about 10 minutes. So we've done everything from, you know, some of our more common cases would be fracture repairs. We get a lot of, you know, hit by cars, unfortunately. A dog will escape out of the house, you know, for one reason or another. Or pyometra surgeries, which is an infection of the uterus in an unspayed female dog usually, which is why we are very proactive about promoting spaying and neutering of pets, as well as foreign body obstruction. So maybe your cat or dog swallows something, needs an emergency surgery to remove it. But we have even done even more time-sensitive things like a rattlesnake bite. So kind of it varies medically, but those are kind of our more common things. Another very common condition that we help with is IVDD, so a slipped disc with an underlying disease called IVDD, which is something the neurology team at our vet partners usually handles. And Dr. Tammy Stevenson can maybe touch upon that.
Yeah, that's the most common thing that I see veterinary emergencies for. And that's most common in our toy breed dogs, with dachshunds being the number one breed and French bulldogs being the number two breed that we see. Their discs tend to degenerate at an early age from genetics. And if you imagine a disc being like a jelly donut, it's the center of the jelly that slips out of place and squishes the spinal cord. And we need to remove that in order for that pet to be able to walk normally. They can be permanently paralyzed if that pinched spinal cord is not relieved.
And a lot of those can be very acute, in which the pet owner literally has 24 to 48 hours to get a surgery done. Otherwise, the pet could be paralyzed for life, which ultimately or often could also result in the pet being euthanized due to the need for a lot of ongoing care at that point.
Tammy, how long have you been working with FACE?
It's been, I believe, 3 years now. I've been a wearer of FACE for its entire 13 years, but I didn't become a board member until about 3 years ago.
But she's been working with us as a vet partner.
That's
for,
correct.
For longer than that. Like I said, we do a lot of cases with their neurology team, specifically on that condition that we just mentioned. And I think she can touch upon how big of a relief it is to be able to offer this to your clients and patients.
As you can imagine, neurosurgery is not an inexpensive proposition. And since this is a very fixable problem in the vast majority of dogs, to be able to have FACE to help us provide that service is an incredible relief. The last thing I want to do, having gotten into this profession, is to euthanize an animal that I could help. It's heartbreaking. People don't want to euthanize their pets for fixable problems either. And certainly if I have the opportunity to help a family and help a dog and FACE provides that, it is an incredible relief that I'm very grateful for. It certainly makes my job a much better job to have FACE.
So how does euthanasia affect the vet? It's not something that you get used to, is it?
It's never something you get used to. And the most difficult part is economic euthanasia. So euthanizing animals you could help. It has a great impact on the veterinary profession. It's one of the professions that has the highest suicide rate for lots of reasons, but certainly euthanasia is one of those reasons. The profession draws a very compassionate, empathic type of person to the profession, and certainly euthanizing our patients is not an easy thing to do. It's heartbreaking.
Another program that you have over at FACE, it's your Youth Humane Education Program.
Yeah, our Youth Humane Education Program does fulfill the education part of our name, and in that program, we service the community by going out. We try to go out once a month. We usually partner with a different either after-school program like the YMCA or just a youth program like the Girl Scouts to provide a free lesson series on different animal welfare-related topics. We cover anything from being a responsible pet owner to the importance of spay and neutering or pet overpopulation. So we try to, again, fulfill that education component of our mission, which ultimately we would hope would prevent some of the medical issues that I think we're aiming to avoid and to avoid some of this economic euthanasia that happens. It's not limited to youth. We have been able to partner with some local senior groups as well. You know, I think at the very bottom line is, along with helping to educate the public about some of these preventable issues, we also want to make sure that they know FACE exists and that we're here as a resource for them should they ever come into a medical emergency with their pet.
And then you also have a community outreach program too, right?
Yeah. So we do partner with some groups, some local groups. Right now we try to focus on groups that work specifically with people experiencing homelessness. So about two times a year, we'll go out and partner with a group that has already established a relationship within that community, and it's already existing to help that community. One that we've partnered with this year is called Think Dignity, and we'll go out and kind of do like a pop-up clinic, and we will provide free pet food resources. We'll even bring out veterinarians to do a free physical exam and offer any flea medications or sometimes vaccines if we have those on hand to this population of pet owners. We can see anywhere from 5 to maybe 20 pets in one of those days, and many more pet owners that might not have their pets with them. But that, again, kind of goes back into the educational component of things. That actually got started. I was downtown San Diego one night, and I noticed a man with a dog. And, of course, being an animal lover, I had to go say hi. And I started talking with him about his dog, and he let me know that he had another dog a few years back that was euthanized due to pyometra, which I mentioned is one of the more common issues that we help with. And I just thought that was such a shame if he had only known about Feast Foundation perhaps that would have been preventable. So again, at the very core of these programs is, I think, educating the public not only about animal welfare and responsible pet ownership and such, but also that we exist and that we're here to help if needed.
Now, we have a few minutes left, and there's still a couple of things I wanted to,
sure.
I wanted to ask you about. In particular, you are saving one pet a day.
Yes,
that's,
we are.
That's the rate right
mm-hmm.
now. One of your big success stories is Jax.
Yeah.
And there was a video, you sent me a link about Jax's story and Jax's owner's story.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, it brought tears to my eyes. Tell us the story.
Yeah, so last February of 2018, there was a local combat veteran named Luis, and he got Jax as a service animal. He is a certified service dog. He was dealing with depression at the time and some other personal issues. But he and Jax were actually headed out one day and were driving on the I-5. And unfortunately, a drunk driver entered the freeway on the wrong side, so came crash into them head on. Unfortunately, it was a fatal accident for that driver, and Jax and Luis were left in very critical condition. Luis suffered multiple injuries. He was in a coma and was rushed straight to Scripps in La Jolla. And Jax was, I believe, found on the freeway by a highway patrol officer who noticed he was bleeding and took him straight to the veterinary specialty hospital, which is in Sorrento Valley. And through our supporter, you know, we heard about the story and just knew we wanted to help. It was just a terrible, terrible accident that happened. And Jax still needed some medical care. I believe he needed his spleen removed and some other hospitalization due to the internal bleeding. So Face was able to reach out to some of our supporters. And within a few days, nearly 100 people reached out to help provide the funding that was needed for Jax's life-saving care. So that was a really special story. Again, very, very sad. Luis is still going through some medical issues, but he and I have become friends now, and mm-hmm. he's very great about spreading the word about Face. And I was able to see them both even just 2 weeks ago. And Jax is 100% back to normal.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, it's very fantastic. It's a great success story, and just shows what our community can do for another fellow community member who's in need at the time. So
right, and you have events throughout the year, don't you, to help you with your mission? And that's one of the ways that I found out about you.
You're right.
Was an event that you had earlier this year.
Yeah, we do. So we have two annual events usually. One is in the springtime. It's called Bags and Baubles. It's a very fun ladies event. It's a big silent auction in Rancho Santa Fe of designer handbags, jewelry, sunglasses, and accessories that have been donated to us throughout the year. We're always looking for more donations for that event. So anybody doing any summer cleaning, I guess it's summer now, reach out to us. We are always accepting donations for that. And it does really well. You know, we're able to bring in a significant amount for the animals for that. And we're lucky in that our board of directors underwrites any event expenses. So truly 100% of event proceeds go to the animals. And then every November, we have a dog-friendly golf tournament, which is pretty fun because most times you don't see dogs out on the golf course. So that's a good one, too. If you're a golfer, reach out to us. This year, we're hosting a special event in September in La Jolla. It's the second time we're hosting our Animaltarian Awards, where we will be honoring some special animaltarians in our community. So different community members and organizations that we feel have done their due diligence in promoting animal welfare and doing good work for animals in our community. So all that information could be found on our website, which is www.face4pets.org. And we'd love to see you all there.
Okay.
They're always super fun.
And if somebody wants to help you with your mission, aside from going to one of these events,
yeah.
Can they make a donation at your website?
Absolutely. That's what we like. You know, we are totally based off donations. We're a public 501c3, so we need all the help we can get to be able to continue saving lives, especially at the rate that we're doing. The need is growing each year. We're saving more pets each year, which is great. But again, that demonstrates to us that the need is ever more present. So they can go to the donate page of our website. There's also some other drop-down options. You know, we're always accepting different planned giving options, estate gifts. You can volunteer with us either at our events or other. So all of that is available on our website. But any way you want to get involved, we'll find a way for that to happen.
And if a veterinarian or a hospital is listening this morning, how would they go about joining your network?
It's pretty simple. You just tell us you're interested. We're lucky that the vet hospitals in our Save a Life program, they actually, the only catch is really that we need a 25% discount on those services. And if 165 vet hospitals can do it, I think a few more can. So
I think so.
That's really truly the only catch in working with us. There's no paperwork, no documents to sign or anything. You just tell us you want to get involved. So pretty easy.
Okay. And then, and to get a hold of you, just go to the website.
Reach out or call me directly. Our number is 858-450-3223. We're there Monday through Friday from 9 to 5. My name's Danae. I'll pick up the phone.
All right. And you're on social media, right?
Yeah, we have a Facebook. I think the name's just Face Foundation. Face is all caps. And then we also have an Instagram. I think it's Face_Foundation and a Twitter, which is Face_4_pets.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Danae and Tammy, thank you so much for being on the show today. Thank you for all you do at Face Foundation, the Foundation for Animal Care and Education. Can't thank you enough for all you're doing
for the
pets and pet owners here in San Diego County.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
That concludes another edition of Living Better in San Diego. The opinions expressed on Living Better in San Diego do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on this station's website. Until next time, I'm Gary Lee. Have a great week and a happy and safe 4th.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.